Hello and welcome to yet another edition of Talking T20, ESPN Cricket First podcast on the game that's changing cricket. We are in January, and as is the norm, we are in the middle of the two major T20 leagues in this part of the calendar, the Big Bash League in Australia and the Bangladesh Premier League, which usually clash and players split between themselves. So we thought it'd be a good idea to have two of our correspondents who watch these leagues day in, day out, speak about the leagues and attend to some curious questions which we have this time, starting with, for example, Sunil Narine and Andre Russell choosing Bangladesh over the Big Bash this time, and a few others as we continue our watch on Smith and Warner throughout the year outside international cricket. My pleasure to welcome Alex Malcolm from Australia for the first time on the show. Alex, welcome on the show.
Hi, Srinath. Thanks for having me.
Lovely. And joining us is one of ESPN Cricket Info's long-time regulars and also a debutant on the podcast today, Mohammad Issam from Bangladesh. Issam, hello.
Hi, Srinath.
How are you doing? Lovely. So, Alex, let's start with you. The BBL, the Big Bash League, is expanded this year. It's possibly the longest edition of the tournament so far, and you followed pretty much every single day of the tournament that's happened so far. I think we're about halfway into the tournament. How has it been overall? How has the public reception been in the year of Sandpaper Gate and the bans that have followed? How has the audience taken to the cricket during their summer holidays?
It hasn't been as positive as what Cricket Australia would like, Srinath. The length of the tournament has particularly frustrated a lot of fans. They have just come to the realisation that this tournament is dragging on and will continue on into the start of February. Normally at this time of the year, we're getting to the back end of the home and away fixtures and the finals are coming up in the next week and a half, but there's still a number of games. Each team, six teams of the eight have six games to go and two have seven. So there's a lot of cricket still to be played. And I think interest has waned. The quality of the cricket hasn't been all that good. A lot of the games have been played on drop-in surfaces at different venues this year. There's drop-in wickets at Marvel Stadium, which is the old Etihad or Docklands, which is the second ground in Melbourne. It's the different one to the MCG. There's a drop-in at Metricon up on the Gold Coast, which was the washed-out T20 between Australia and South Africa. It was the venue for that game, and the wicket hasn't been all that good up there. And there's been a few others where the surfaces, Spotless Stadium in Sydney, where the Sydney Thunder play, isn't a great surface. So that hasn't made for good cricket either. So it's been an interesting watch as far as the Big Bash and comparing it to seasons past and how the audience has really engaged with it, and some of the ratings haven't been that good from a television perspective, and some of the audience members as far as crowd numbers haven't been that great as well. They're not that far down, but they're just a little bit down on what they have been in previous years.
Issam, let me quickly come to you with a couple of questions I have instantly based on what Alex has just alluded to. The Big Bash traditionally has had the greater coverage. It's considered one of the most competitive leagues. It's good cricket to watch. Players from around the world love it for the quality of cricket and the spectacle that it presents overall. What about the BPL this year, the Bangladesh Premier League? We've seen players from the Big Bash move to Bangladesh midway through the tournament and are playing in both leagues. And interestingly, there are guys like Sunil Narine and Andre Russell, two of T20's biggest superstars going around the world. They have chosen to play in Bangladesh over Australia. What's the thought from the players' perspective on this? Because there are a number of factors, of course, but what's driving players to decide on these things?
Srinath, I'll be honest with you. Whatever I've spoken to players about and most of the reactions of players and team owners and coaches is that obviously the BPL pays better than the Big Bash. There's no other reason for the BPL to draw some of these players that you have mentioned. And more than that, I think a number of other players. Dhaka itself has, I think, four of the best all-rounders in T20. Obviously, Shakib is going to play. But you have, as you mentioned, Sunil Narine, you have Kieran Pollard, you have Andre Russell. And then you have a number of these other sort of, I wouldn't call them lower grade players, but there are a number of players who chose the BPL simply because it paid better. And hearing from what Alex has said, I haven't followed the BBL that closely, obviously he has. It's very interesting to see that both the tournaments have similar problems. Pitches have been awful in the BPL. I mean, the scoring rates have been terrible. Everyone was saying, I'm in Sylhet right now. Everyone was saying that when the tournament moves from from Dhaka to Sylhet, there'll be better scores because Sylhet has good pitches. Last night, there were two games. Mm. Both were absolute shockers for T20s. I mean, one side got out, bowled out for, was bowled out in the 60s, and they're a good side. It had David Warner and a number of good young Bangladeshi batsmen. The pitch started to turn square, and everyone coming to the press conferences said that, yeah, it's unbelievable to have these surfaces in a T20. So, firstly, it's great that BPL can draw a lot of foreigners, foreign players, especially with the Big Bash running concurrently. But it's not really putting up a great show.
Yeah, while on pitches, I think we've spoken about this earlier off-air and in our discussions in the past. Isn't this issue of pitches a persistent long-term one that's been associated with the BPL for a while now? This is not the first time, is it?
Absolutely not. It has been a problem since 2016, especially in Dhaka, where the policy has been for Bangladesh to play on slightly turning wickets in Test cricket. And because there's so many matches in Dhaka, they haven't been able to switch between the two formats, Test, ODIs and T20s, or three formats. So what happens is in Dhaka, you get around 120 to 130 wicket. It used to be quite good. It used to be 150 average pitch. But Chittagong and all these other venues, Sylhet or Khulna, they have been quite good. But when you go to Dhaka, people have got in trouble for criticizing the pitch there. And Tamim got into trouble here. A few other cricketers got into trouble for speaking out about the pitch because the BCB doesn't really like people criticizing the pitch. And this time they have been stunned. I mean, it has been so slow that, you know, you can't really play T20 cricket in these wickets. Even in Sylhet, already two matches have gone. And as I said, it hasn't been great. Yeah, it's a long-running problem in the BPL.
Alex, just coming back to you, the other big reason, of course, for players choosing, apart from the money, which Issam mentioned, we'll get to that at some point, is, of course, the BBL imposing a restriction of just two overseas players per team. So that obviously makes it harder for players to sign up for franchises and teams in the BBL to sign up overseas players, because at most you're going to have two per team, and that's not too many slots overall.
No, that's right. That's been an issue that has plagued the BBL since the start. They've done that deliberately to develop Australian talent and have wanted to back Australian talent and give younger Australian players an opportunity. But at the moment, given the state of Australian cricket, there's just not the depth to fill out the squads, and there's a number of players playing that probably aren't up to the standard of high-quality T20 cricket that you would see at a global level. And unfortunately, they haven't made any moves to expand that from two to four overseas players. So recruiting is a big issue, though, for the Australian teams because of the length of the tournament and the money particularly. These players, if they're going to play the whole BBL tournament, they have to spend more than 59 days in Australia. That's more than 2 months. If you include prep, the tournament runs for 59 days over Christmas and the New Year. And really the salary cap and Australian taxes don't allow for the type of money that can be earned in the Bangladesh Premier League. The Australian salary cap for each team is only 1.77 million Australian, which is only 1.27 million US, spread across 18 players. So, and the salary cap is quite strictly enforced by Cricket Australia. There have been some whispers and murmurs and about things being done tied to state contracts and things like that in the past, but Cricket Australia have certainly tidied a lot of that up. So it's really difficult to attract top quality international players. And plus, there's a lot of international cricket on at the moment. Not only the Australian team playing in a couple of different formats, their test bowlers being rested, but England, the West Indies, South Africa and Pakistan. So it is difficult to attract those players. And also, of course, you can't get any Indian players either, which they would be big draw cards if you could get them. But the BCCI obviously doesn't release them. So that's another issue as well.
Issam, just on the issue of pay, because we in India, we keep hearing about how much people are paid at the IPL auction, which still sort of remains one of its kind. The rest of the leagues have moved on to the draft. Why do we not hear anything about how much players are paid at a league like the BPL? Because if it's paying a lot, it would only make sense for the board to advertise and showcase it and make it a bigger draw for other big players.
It used to be that way. Since they've made it into drafts, what happens is, I think the draft players, they have their salary brackets. 200,000 is the highest. $200,000 is the highest pay if you're in the draft. This year, I think even Lewis, Shahid Afridi, and Imran Tahir, and a few others, I think these three are in the highest bracket. The ones that are not taken from draft, they are not advertised anymore.
Yeah.
We have only hear rumors that the franchises obviously are not going to release it. The board doesn't also really talk about it because they say the franchises are paying these players. From what I've heard, and it's not based on rumor, it's, I think, quite close to it. Like someone like AB de Villiers, who's arriving on the 17th, I think, to play six matches, 17th of January. I heard that he's going to be paid around $360,000 for six games, so $60,000 per game.
That's comfortably the highest per game, right?
Yeah, I think that's the highest here because there's no other bigger player. I think David Warner can be close because that's his first time in the BPL. Maybe Steven Smith was something around that. I don't know about Chris Gayle, though. But yeah, these players. And then you have Alex Hales. Last year, Josh Butler got, I think, £200,000 for the whole tournament, I think. And I feel that some of the players like Lasith Malinga, they will be around, you know, Tisara Pereira, they'll be around that figure, 100,000 mark, maybe, $100,000.
Just to perspective on what Issam just said, so $360,000 US for AB de Villiers, that's $500,000 Australian, which is 500 out of 1.77. Right. That's more than a quarter of the salary cap on one player, which Australian teams can't spend.
Yeah, which makes sense then. Economically, you've got more pay, you've got more slots to fill in the BPL. Issam, the other interesting theme, of course, is the fact that Bangladesh's international stars are available through the Bangladesh Premier League season, which obviously makes it a bigger draw card for the public to come and watch games. As someone who's been following the league throughout, I mean, for as long as it's existed, how much do you think that makes a difference? Because unlike Australia, where the home season clashes with the BBL itself, Bangladesh's international stars are pretty much available throughout the season.
Oh yeah, I mean the schedule is drawn so that they get to play. There's not going to be even a single BPL even in the future where Bangladeshi cricketers, I mean the top cricketers are not going to be available. The whole window is, you know, taken out so that all the first class matches, all the listed tournaments or any international matches, they have to be played around the BPL window. It was shifted this year for the elections. It was supposed to be held in October, so they changed the Zimbabwe series schedule so that the BPL can be, and it's a shorter window than the Big Bash or the IPL, obviously. It's 1 month, 1 month, a few days, I think. Just 5 weeks. I think it has never been longer than 5 weeks. So they have fitted into the Bangladesh calendar, in the winter calendar, so that, yeah. And they try to keep regional players, but, you know, that hasn't really worked out. But I think Tamim Iqbal and Shakib, they have their own following, and then they bring that following to their own franchise, so that really works out.
Which is sort of what happens across a lot of Asian leagues, and I'm sure in leagues like South African, Zanzi, Super League, etc. Alex, it's a bit of a unique issue with Australia, isn't it? Because the BBL, obviously, apart from being a T20 tournament, it kind of fits in with Australia's summer holidays, and therefore the entire tournament expands across the stretch of those holidays. And cricket, obviously being a summer sport in Australia, that's quite a big reason why the schedule is drawn up like this. Is it a big loss to not have some of your leading international superstars take part in the tournament for a watching public perspective?
Yeah, it does drag away from the quality of cricket, and it's become habitual in Australia in the summer, over the summer holidays, for the Big Bash to be on, the BBL to be on every night on TV. It's traditionally on free-to-air television. It wasn't behind the paywall until this year. So you could just flick it on and the ratings were exceptional and people would start to see players on a more regular basis. Rashid Khan, for example, became a household name when most Australians would have never heard of him before last season when he played for the Strikers. And the test matches are on during the day, so they tend to watch test matches, particularly Boxing Day and the Sydney Test. They watch the test match during the day and then have the Big Bash in the evening. But it is a drain on the Big Bash, and this quality of cricket is not as good when the international Australian players aren't available. So, for example, Usman Khawaja lit up the Big Bash a couple of years ago and basically won the Sydney Thunder the title. He got on a hot streak with the bat, played magnificently through the back end of the tournament into the finals. He hasn't been able to play for the Thunder at all this season, and he won't be able to either because he's been in the Test team and the one-day international team. The Scorchers will now get Sean Marsh back, but they've had big holes in it at the top of their order. They haven't been able to fill because he's been playing both Test and one-day internationals. He's obviously been dropped from the Test side. There's numerous examples. The Strikers have lost Alex Carey for a week, but they've regained Travis Head, but that'll flip next week when the one-day international series ends and the Test series with Sri Lanka starts. So it's a very difficult juggling act for all of the teams because they plan for having their best side, but then players get selected, they come in and out. The Stars had set up their team based on having Maxwell, Stoinis, and Zampa for the large majority of the tournament, and then they got whisked away for a week at a critical stage in the tournament. They're unavailable, and they've already lost one game. They've lost two games in that period while Maxwell, Stoinis, and Zampa have been out. So it's really tough to manage, and the fans find it difficult to work out who's coming and going, who's available and who's not, and they don't understand the workload management issues that are happening at the Australian team level, and they can't work out why guys can't be made available to play in gaps in days, because the travel in Australia is huge as well. Something that's that's really underrated. I mean, it's bigger than India. The some of the trips going from Brisbane to Perth, if you're flying into headwinds, it's a 6-hour tarmac to tarmac flight, which is like an international flight anyway. So it can be really tough on the players, and that's the reason why the tournament's just been off the boil this year, because guys haven't been available.
So 6 hours domestic flight is unheard of in most parts of the world, maybe outside of the US, I suppose. Isam, the flip side of what Alex mentioned and what I had asked him earlier is, of course, that newer talent tends to emerge from these sorts of situations because your bigger stars sometimes aren't available. Someone like a Darcy Short emerged from the BBL, and there's, of course, Alex Carey that Alex mentioned, the numerous other examples in the BBL. Is it fair to say that the number of domestic talent or the newer talent emerging from the Bangladesh Premier League as such isn't as frequent or as much? Because unlike, let's say, even the Afghanistan players or Nepal players like Lamit Chane now, who's making a big name for himself from around the world, we don't hear of too many unheralded talents from Bangladesh making a big name, because we keep hearing of the same guys. We hear of Shakir, we hear of Mahmudullah, we hear of Tamim, all these guys getting T20 gigs from around the world. But what about the next-gen talent that emerges from this league? Because, again, we don't hear of talent taking the BPL itself by storm and announcing themselves to the world.
You're absolutely right. There is no domestic cricketers, uncapped cricketers who have done well this year. And throughout the BPL's history, that has been a huge problem. It's mainly because Bangladesh doesn't have another T20 tournament at any level from where players can showcase something to the franchise or stay in form in T20s. I think around 2012 and 2013, it wasn't much of an issue between formats. I mean, people really didn't care whether you were, at least not in the Bangladesh Premier League, that, you know, where we can switch to T20s or not. But off late, I think this last 2 years, 17, 19, these two seasons, I think it has become a huge issue that Bangladeshi cricketers are not in form in T20s and they're not in people. I mean, yesterday, Tariq Nafis, who has sometimes worked for ESPN, and he came to the press conference and I asked him why Bangladeshi cricketers have done so poorly in this season. I mean, only one guy, Ronnie Talukdar, he scored a 50. I mean, he's on some load, but he's also a cap player. He's played one T20 for Bangladesh. So Shadia Nafis just said that, look, we just got 4 days between the first-class tournament and BPL to prepare. And we haven't played T20s. I mean, if some of these players, they get to play some regional tournaments, if someone organizes it outside Dhaka, they get to play that tournament if it's a T20. But otherwise, it's only first-class cricket and List A cricket that they get to play. And all of these players, all of these domestic Bangladesh cricketers, they came off two first-class tournaments since October till December. And then on December 27th, you have the first-class competition finished. On January 5th, you have BPL starting. So you can't really expect first of all, you can't expect these guys to switch so quickly. And even if they did, it's not a T20 country. And coming back to your first point, why, you know, guys like Rashid Khan going into all these leagues, you have Sandeep Lamishane now coming to BPL as well. Bangladesh really produce T20 cricketers because they don't really promote it that well. I mean, I can always say that Mahmudullah is a fine talent. He transformed himself in the last 3 years. Now he bats at 130 strike rate. But he's underrated. He goes to play in the CPL and the PSL, but unless you play in the IPL, it really doesn't, I think, it doesn't really hit that sweet spot. Taqib is there, Mustafiz is there, but as you have said as well, it's zero in the talent department when it comes to T20s for Bangladesh. So even all these franchises, even I've been trying it, I've tried to do some stories last year, where are the big hitters? There are no big hitters in Bangladesh. No bats at 100 expected here. You need to manufacture batsmen in T20s. Mashrafi opened the other day for Rampur. Just imagine, they have some of the biggest stars in world cricket, and you needed, you know, their opener failed. The local guy, unfortunately, didn't score runs. Then Mashrafi had to balance it out. He had to go and open because they have to play four foreign players. And I don't think he'll open again. I think they're playing Alex Hales today, later today. But, so that's the problem. I mean, there is nothing to draw from.
That's quite the switch from a part-timer to a specialist that you mentioned with Hales at the end, Issam. The question that I had for you from there is, of course, the Bangladesh Premier League, of course, happens in January, like you said, in Bangladesh is winter. Does it affect the motivation of the players that sometimes the IPL auction, like for example this year, it happens sometime around then or sometime just before it starts, like it's happened in 2018. Does that affect the motivation of the players, or like you say, there are deeper factors at play here for players not making it to a league like the IPL?
Srinath, I don't think they target the IPL anymore. I don't think any of these Bangladesh, I mean, it'll be a jackpot if someone did get picked, but even guys like, say, Shakib got picked because of his Bangladesh form. Mustafiz, same thing. Did very well in 2015. They picked him in 2016, which was great. But, you know, I don't think there has been a player, even in the other leagues. I mean, CPL and PSL now looks like Bangladesh, the best places for Bangladesh cricketers to make a name for the 20s. Mahmudullah obviously gets picked up in those leagues. Tamim goes and plays the PSL. Mushfiq plays the PSL, but, I don't think any of the Bangladesh cricketers, I mean, they'll tell you that, IPL is the ultimate for them if they're playing T20s, but it's a very, very long shot.
Alex, contrary to what happens in Bangladesh, a lot of big bash stars, unknowns in India at least, like, for example, I had alluded to Darcy Short earlier. Darcy Short got a good gig with Rajasthan Royals last year. And there are numerous examples. If we roll back the years, there are a number of Aussie guys who have not been heard of in India who come well and performed in the IPL. Some of them have not gone so well. So unlike in past editions with the auction happening earlier this year, what's the motivation for BBL stars this year? Because Aussie players haven't had a great time of late in the IPL. So what's sort of the motivation for these guys? Because the younger guys are obviously going to get a gig in a World Cup year. They would have got a gig if the auction had happened later.
Yeah, you're right. I think the advantage for Australian players in the Big Bash is the coaching staffs that end up going to the IPL. So a lot of Australian coaches and Stephen Fleming, who coaches here in the Stars, double up into the IPL and are in coaching staffs and recruiting teams for a lot of the IPL teams. So you think of Ricky Ponting, you think of Simon Kadich at KKR, you think of Tom Moody at the Sunrisers, Brad Hodge has been heavily involved, Trent Woodhill, you can keep rattling them off. So they are exposed to Australian talent, which gives the IPL owners a lot more information, actually, as to who is available and who is underrated and who can be picked off that are not just Australian national players, but guys who have been dominating in the Big Bash. So, as far as the players go, if you talk to them here, a lot of them see the IPL as a bit of a bonus. A lot of them are just targeting trying to play for Australia. And if they can get to that level, then the IPL deals tend to come on top of that. For them, in the next 12 months, the World Cup, 50 over World Cup in England is a big target. And then the 2020 World Cup in Australia in 2020 is a target for a lot of these guys. And I think a lot of them feel like if they can get to the Australian level, play internationals, T20 internationals or 50 over internationals, or even Test cricket and play well in Test cricket, they'll certainly become far more recognisable and maybe more valuable assets to move into IPL contracts in the future. But for them, a lot of them just want to play well. They just want to play well for their franchises here. And if they happen to get picked up in an IPL auction 1 year, then that's a big bonus to them. And not a lot of them are targeting it per se.
All right. Finally, before I let you guys go, Issam, I'm going to ask you, you've already spoken about how it's not been a great year for Bangladeshi players so far. But this is also a time when David Warner and Stephen Smith, who are from Australia, who are not allowed to take part in the Big Bash, they've headed to Bangladesh to play the Bangladesh Premier League. You obviously were at the presser when Warner arrived and spoke to the media. How has the reception for those guys been so far? How has a guy like Warner adapted to a place like Bangladesh to play T20 cricket, which doesn't happen too often in his career?
Yeah, he's been quite forthcoming in the press conference. Of course, he was quite frank about his views, and he said that he's here to, you know, build up to his return. I think that's one of the things that he wants to do. From the franchise, they're very happy with his overall, you know, approach, because he's the captain of a very young team. They have guys like Taskin, they have Litton, Nasir is there. So it's a very young group that he's leading, and with a few foreign guys like they have Walker Yunus as their coach. So they're quite happy with him because he apparently, you know, has shown that he's very interested in these guys and making sure that these guys can get the best out of them. He's come to one of these match, you know, post-match press conferences, and he spoke about how Taskin and Alamin and all these guys, they know what they're doing, and he's quite confident of letting them set their own fields, making their own batting plans, some of the other batsmen. They haven't really clicked that well. That's another point. But I think he has, you know, generally done, gelled with them. That's what it seems like. Steve has left, of course. He's injured. He won't be playing in the BPL anymore. But one more thing. I think some of the players have started to grow, have a bit of fondness for the BPL. I think it's not just the money. Say, a team like Dhaka or Rangpur, they keep the players quite happy. I mean, all the other players, the teams have changed. I think the BPL started off really poorly. They had money issues like you wouldn't believe. I mean, players didn't get paid, the coaches didn't get paid. All of these things came out in the news. But since 2015, it started to improve. And now I think I haven't heard anything yet this year. Fingers crossed. And I hope I don't have to run after these sort of things again. But it's been good so far in that sort of thing. It's a very basic thing. You have to get you're playing, but, you know, it's there's not been that problem yet.
Alex, have Australian crowds missed these guys? Has there been anything to that effect? And secondly, who are the younger guys who've kind of made a name for themselves so far? Who are the guys to watch out for the rest of us as we go around the T20 calendar and auctions and drafts, seeing teams pick people who are not yet known to the wider world?
First question, I don't think they have missed Steve Smith and David Warner. I think maybe there's an underlying element of perhaps missing their runs from the Test series, but those two guys haven't played much Big Bash cricket because they've been basically on Australian duty for the last 5 years. Steve Smith was actually captain of the Sydney Sixers when they won the very first Big Bash, but other than that, he's barely played, and David Warner's hardly played at all as well. Cameron Bancroft's returned to the Big Bash. He came back. He's actually found some really good form. He's received mixed receptions away from Perth when he's been playing in Hobart. He also played in Sydney and he played in Melbourne. But he's been given some really warm receptions in Perth, and he's played very well. The last game he played outstandingly well in a chase against the Sydney Sixers. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not, you know, Smith and Warner are welcomed back with open arms by Australian crowds in the future. But at the moment, anecdotally, no, they're definitely not missing those two players. As far as young guys go that have really stood up, the one that's really starting to stand out and make a name for himself, and he snuck up on a lot of people, is Ashton Turner. He's played magnificently over the last 2 years for the
Perth Rangers. He's got an agent gig, Alex.
Yes, he has, and I think he's been a great selection. It's Rajasthan who've picked him up, isn't it?
Yeah, at his base price. So
they've got tremendous value out of him for those Rajasthan fans. He's a seriously good player, and I know the Australian selectors are very, very keen to get him in sooner rather than later. He's on the cusp of playing in Sydney as a backup when Mitch Marsh was ill for the ODI. He'll be in the frame for the World Cup, and he'll certainly be right in the frame for the T20 World Cup. You've seen Jai Richardson in the internationals. He's been bowling very well for the Scorchers, and he'll continue to have a presence in T20 cricket. Riley Meredith has emerged, and Shane Warne really likes him. So, again, another Rajasthan link, I'm sure, down the track they'll find. If they can get him in, they will get him in. He's bowled very quickly, showing good skills. He's got to learn a little bit about bowling at the death and bowling under pressure, but he's bowling
he's at 145 plus.
Yeah, he's bowling 145 km/h. Hits the track very, very hard. He's a bit taller than you think, and he's a bit quicker than you think. So there are a couple of guys. From the batting perspective, there probably just haven't been many who've stood up. Max Bryant is one to keep an eye out for. He's now part of the Bash Brothers. He's the baby sibling of the Bash Brothers up at the Heat. He has shown that he is a power hitter, very much a clone of Chris Lynn. So I'm sure IPL owners will be keeping an eye on him. Josh Phillip is another West Australian kid who's actually been playing for the Sydney Sixers. He's a wicketkeeper. He probably should be batting at the top of the order, but he hasn't been. He's been batting in the middle, and his strike rate, his inventiveness, his running between the wickets has been excellent. So there are a few guys who have started to just buck their head or show their skills in this particular Big Bash who might become household names in the future.
Lovely. Thanks, Alex. And thank you, Issam, for joining us on this episode of Talking T20, because it was obviously quite enlightening for me, leave alone our listeners, who will obviously find it really interesting to know that the Bangladesh Premier League pays more than the Big Bash for starters, and all the other insights you've given us over the course of the last half an hour. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
No worries, Shrinath.
And thanks to you, listener, for your company on yet another episode of Talking T20. If you like this episode, go ahead and leave us a rating on iTunes. It helps more listeners find the podcast. And of course, we're present on all other podcasting platforms like Stitcher, Pocket Cast, SoundCloud, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Until next time then, it's goodbye from me, Srinath Sripath, and the rest of the crew at ESPN Cricket Focus.